don't. Better get a third guy here. Cliff. Thank you, sir. Proverbs 25. We're actually going to read two verses, but if you'll stand with me, Proverbs 25, verse 17. I'd like to read that together with you. All right, before we read, may I say this? A sermon, the word of God, when it's preached, there are many things that should happen, but at least three should happen. If you are aware of life. Number one, you should be reminded of things. Unless you're a brand new Christian, nothing should be absolutely new. Spurgeon said, if it's new, it's probably not true, and if it's true, it's probably not new. When I used to hear in Bible college, I'm going to teach you a new truth, several of those new truths were pure heresy. I heard a sermon by the president, the pastor, that preached a sermon on the eternal humanity of Jesus. You do understand that is first order heresy. He should have been banned from the church that morning. People were too dumb to know he was preaching heresy. Okay? Jesus is not eternally human, folks. Christianity is about God becoming man. But, so you should be reminded of things you know. You should learn a few things. And if you didn't learn something this morning, you were sleeping or not here. And number three, you should start asking questions. How does this connect to this? And making connections. Because I'm going to do something that's hard for me to do at my age. When I was young, you don't believe me, Emily, you hurt my feelings last night, but that's okay. I have thick skin. Emily, for the first 2 to 3 years that I was a pastor in St. Louis, the average sermon was somewhere between 15 and 30 minutes. I love you, Rhonda. You know why? Didn't know anything. Today, everything connects. So tonight, forgive me. I'm going to be rabid and just preach what I have in my notes, because I could get a feel very quickly when it comes to relationships. Proverbs 25:17. Withdraw. If you're reading the King James, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee, and so hate thee. Interesting. A lot of times, Proverbs isn't like a section, but it'll have connected ideas. Verse 18, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor, we're still in the neighbor business here, is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. So you have two verses that they're not really the same verse, but they're just connected around the concept of being a neighbor. The other verse, I'll just quote Psalm 119:163. I am a companion of them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. All right, let's pray. 7 o'clock. Emily, 30 minutes, I'll be done. And I want everyone to hear me. I'm going to stick to the script, and this entire sermon is from a text that I received last week. And the corresponding back and forth text, because a person sent me exactly what's in your notes? He or she. He, she. It was a Filipina O. He, she. So I'm not telling you who, it doesn't make any difference who it is because you wouldn't know the person. Actually, I've only met the person in passing one time. But they asked this question, and we'll get to it right after we pray. Father, help me tonight as I share some ideas about the subject of relationships having absolutely no real insight outside of Scripture. I used to think relationships were easy, and I have learned that most of the time they're not. Help us, Lord, to grasp these concepts tonight and start asking more questions, making more connections, actually growing. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In your notes is exactly what the person, what he asked when she texted me. Hi, Pastor. One question. I didn't know how to put a smiley face, so I had to write it. You know how you get a text, one question ends up being three pages? This was one of them. Hi, Pastor. One question, smiley face, explanation. When, and I'm assuming the individual really meant both when and how, do you know when to step back from people? Everybody look at me. Is that a good question? This is not in the notes, and I promise you this is my only aside. There's only two kinds of Christians that bother me. The kind that cannot separate from people and that are with people 24/7, and the people that are never around people. And we have both problems at this church. We have some people that chica is their whole life. If you don't know what chica is, it's talking. It's dal-dal. It's just a continual. And on the other hand, we have other people. You don't see them. They always sit in corners, observing. Two most dangerous people in a church. Always. For different reasons. In your notes, here's my answer. Well, I haven't always known when to step back. And I haven't always stepped back. And even when I knew I needed to, I haven't always done so. Are you all with me? So he asked me a question that really got me thinking. Then the rest of the sermon comes from back and forth, back and forth, back and forth conversation. Underneath the verses, I say this, withdraw thy foot. If you read any other version, you're going to have a different translation. It's not going to be wrong. It's the same concept, but they're going to try to be, well, the Hebrew doesn't say withdraw thy foot. The Hebrew says let thy foot be seldom in thy neighbor's house, which I think is the same thing. You know, I say in your notes, withdraw thy foot is a very good colloquial English translation and quite practical. Please look at me. It means this, talkers. There's a time not to talk. Withdraw. Don't always be talking. Try telling that to somebody that spends their whole life and actually starts getting nervous the moment they're not talking. They're reaching for stuff. By the way, there's just a time to stop the talking and withdraw. Or, if you prefer the way it's in the ESV, but I'm not looking at the ESV, I read it in Hebrew. It says, don't let your foot be constantly in somebody's house. You say, why not? Well, that comes to the next part, and you'll need to write some things down. This is funny. By the way, very high-level Hebrew, just like high-level English. You know, high-level English almost always uses a word in two different ways. This passage uses a perfectly good word in a funny way. It says, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be what? Weary of thee. In your notes, to be weary in Hebrew means this, to be sated. Probably you don't use that word. It also means, in the same idea, to be satisfied. But have you ever eaten a really good meal? And at the end of that really good meal, you just said, wow, that hit the spot. And then have you eaten the third brat after that? You go from being sated to being, or satisfied to being a little oversatisfied. That's the play on the Hebrew word. It's like, it's a beautiful thing for you to visit, so to speak, your neighbor, your friend, your Christian. But then there's a time when it's like, that's a little bit too much to say the same thing. And by the way, friends, it's playing. You understand playing with language. I thought of a phrase today, and now I can't remember it. Oh, I know the word. reed and red. You know it's the same word. How do you know which one it means? What if you don't have a context? You're in trouble, correct? You know, language plays with different aspects. The next phrase is, it means to be satisfied or to be filled. Again, you go out to eat tonight. You say, I'd like to go to Culver's and have myself and a really nice burger and some of those good, not the fries, what's the other thing? Cheese curds. Ooh. And you look at the cheese curds, look at me, and you just want a small sample, but Cliffy's there and you think, hey, I want the whole thing. So you get the whole thing and you stuff it in your face, and then you think I want ice cream. And you go from being filled to being full of. Yes? Filled up. Overfilled. So that's the point in this. It's a strange thing. The text basically says, listen, however we read it, it ends up in the same place. Either if you find yourself too much at your neighbor's house, get your foot out. Quit the talking. Why? Because after a while, you're going to be overfilling people. That's a little much. A little too much. I will tell you all. I do not have a weakness with chocolate. You come to my office, I got tons of chocolate. I eat chocolate occasionally. I have a sin from my father. I do not have it as bad as him because no human I have ever met had it as bad as him. You say what? My dad grew up in the Depression, had no sugar. So if my mom made 12 pies, she would make a pie or two for each kid, one or two for dad, and she always made pies for dad. You know this is true, that nobody liked. Which ones did dad eat first? He ate my pie, Rita's pie, Shirley's pie, Mom's pie, and then he ate all of his pies. Folks, I only have a sin in a few areas. Pecan pie. Pecan pie is the best thing on earth, the first piece. You need the second piece because you think, I want to recreate that perfection. The second piece isn't quite so good. Then you think, yeah, but the third piece will be. And by that time, your sugar is shot through the roof, and then it's coming down hard. Friends, have you figured out it's okay to be quiet? That's what we're going to talk about tonight in your notes. By the way, no meanness. This is just things that he or she talked to me about. Number one, relationships, obviously, can be damaged and even destroyed. I think we all need to recognize that if we don't know how to control our relationships and we don't learn the proper amount of time we need to spend with people. And by the way, friend, I already told you, I don't think you should be the Lone Ranger off in the corner who never talks to anybody. I think that's a very dangerous place to be. On the other hand, it's like, what? But he or she asked the question, when do you know it's time? Or how do you know and when do you know to pull back? Because he or she, I think, is in some relationships, look at me in the eyes, friends, that I think are going bad. Do you realize there's the old question, can a man and a woman that are not married be friends? Well, the answer is yes, as long as the relationship is kept, what? Limited. But if it's not limited, hello, things can get stupid. In your notes. I say in your notes, this is my confession, what I said in one of my texts. I said, I frankly confess as a human, a man, a Christian, and as a pastor, I have struggled with this. Ralph Warren generally likes people. Generally. And I'm serious. I also like to connect to people, and I have a great weakness. I don't do it as much as I used to. I connect to people too quickly. Do you realize the danger of that? I think, Tim, it's from being from the country, growing up by yourself. I just assume everybody's on the level like I am. What you see is what you get. There's no fake. There's no deceit. There's no games. I'm a simple person. it's only taken me now that I've pastored here 27 years and 8 years in St. Louis, so it's taken me at least 35 years to figure out everybody is not on the level. And it's very painful for me to do that. So when it comes to these things, some of this is hard for me. I tend to like people. I connect pretty easily. I tend to connect too easily. I'm a very loyal person, in case you don't know, which, oh, I get damaged by disloyal people because I'm loyal to them. And frankly, I'll be loyal to you until I can't be. That's who I am. I've got a lot to learn. So I say that in your notes, and I said that to this individual. As a man, human, Christian, pastor, I've struggled with this, and I guess I have much to learn. Scripture, Ecclesiastes. Friends, this is giving, what would we call this, the opposites of life, where you have to hold in tension two ideas. They're opposites, they're both true in their setting, and you have to hold them together. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to plant, and by the way, that's probably talking about, say it, farming. It's talking about planting. What is the problem we've had in Iowa, Indiana, and Illinois this year? It rained too much. There's folks that have barely got their crops in now. By this time, normally we have corn to your knee. There's a time to plant. There's a time to do what? Pluck up that which is planted. By application, friend, there's a time to build relationships. There's a time to draw back. Sometimes you're planting, sometimes you're harvesting. It goes on to say, there's a time to kill and a time to heal. There's a time to break down and there's a time to build up. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. There's a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. There is a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. But if you're a non-embracer, you think there's never a time to embrace, never a time for closeness. If you're the opposite, you want to be with people 24/7. There's a time to get and there's a time to lose. There's a time to keep and there's a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. So friends, Pastor Warren is going to do some contrast. These are not difficult. I'm not going to say anything that you can't think of. I seek only to remind you as I reminded the person. So, Pastor, look at the question at the top, please. Hi, Pastor. One question, smiley face question mark. When do you know when to step back from people? The answer is, I don't have an answer. I just know this. Folks, please look at me. I know this. There is a time to do opposites. And people who are healthy immediately gravitate to the opposites. They could do both. People that are unhealthy can only do one side. So if you're unhealthy, gravitate to both truths. In your notes, back and forth, there is a time together and there is a time apart or alone. And you must do, say it, you must do. It'd be real interesting. By the way, this goes for marriage. This goes for parents. This goes for brothers and sisters. This goes for friendships. There's a time together. There's a time apart or alone. Next, there's a time to breathe out. I use that for the relationship. Where are you just tonight after church? Well, some of us will go to Culver's. We'll sit around, yap. Cliffy will tell jokes. Maybe I'll get Cliffy to tell how he fell in love with Judy one more time. What I really want to know is how Atong got Jenny Lynn. That's what I would really like to know. But I think he paid her lots of money, so I don't know if it's a romantic story. By the way, folks, that's fun, isn't it? But there's also a time to do this. And it's hard to breathe in when you're always breathing out. It's just common, friend. What happens when you can't catch your breath? The solution is to try to expel everything, stop, and then breathe in. There's a time with people to breathe out. There's a time to breathe in. These are not secret. All of these are reminders. There's a time to embrace. There's a time not to embrace. Next page. There's a time to talk. And frankly, Americans don't get the next one. I would like to follow people around and see how many people ever have a time for silence. It's the greatest thing. I do not understand it, but I do know this. A person that never has silence, this morning's message, which was in notes, so logical, so connected, you could not possibly miss it. Some people would not even know that I preached and taught on the unpardonable sin. You say, why? Because they're never silent. Be noisy and know that I am God. I read that. That's in the Revised Standard Version. There's a time to talk. There's a time for silence. There's a time, you put whatever words you want to here. There's a time for chatter or chica or silliness, and I like all of that. But friend, there's also a time for thought. And if you ask me, I would say the time for thought should be more than the time for chatter. What do you think? Let me ask. We spend all of our time watching television, listening to things, scrolling through phones. All of that's chatter, 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 chatter. And we wonder why we have problems, because we have a hard time saying, how can I just learn to think, be quiet? So there is a time for chatter. On the other hand, it's a time for thought. Another contrast. By the way, nothing new. This is a little bit more happens with children. Have you ever seen a mother that will not allow her child to get out of her lap? When I pastored in St. Louis, I had my first major problem. I cannot say with whom, people I love, but the wife had a child, and she decided that child would never leave her hip. I thought, well, okay, but when she has the second child, it was only with number three. She couldn't figure out how to hold all three. Do you know what damage that does to a child? By the way, there's a time for both of these. Bonding, that's bonding with a child, bonding with a friend. Bonding with your spouse. But if you have to be looking at your spouse talking and them telling you how wonderful you are every day, wow. There's a time for bonding, and there's a time, what's the other word? For boundaries. A child needs to know they're part of a family, but a child needs to know they're also me. And it's so simple when you're a mother. Mothers in this room, maybe actually listen to Pastor Warren. I know I'm not dumb. I mean, I'm dumb and I don't know anything. But when you see mothers over-mothering, why don't you talk to them? A child needs both bonding and they need boundaries. I don't mean boundaries, let the two-year-old or let my buddy Evan, my littlest, walk out the door to go play in traffic. I'm talking about this. Here you are in one room. They're right there in the other room. You can see them, but they're playing. They're now having boundaries. Oh, I know who I am. It's okay to be alone. It's okay to talk. Oh, by the way, if you don't do both of these, children become so messed up when they're adults. Yes, no more time for that. Continue. I'll say it another way. There's a time for us, and then there's a time for me. Or if you prefer it, I think I say it differently. There's a time to be me. And friends, I love people, but not all the time. There's a time for us when we're gathered together. There's a time for me. How about it saying in a different way? There's a time for you, me, and God. That'll be tonight, right after the service. There's also a time for me and God, and not you. Next, I have said, by the way, everybody with me? Is this simple? I have not said anything provocative except this. We tend to one side or the other. And when we do, we don't end up healthy. These are polar tensions that we must do both. And they're important. So I have said relationships can be damaged and even destroyed. The next concept you already know. Relationships can also be damaging. Sometimes the relationship itself can be very, very unhealthy. How would you know? Look at me up here, folks, but please. How would you know you're in a relationship, you shouldn't be in the relationship, in that relationship? Holy Spirit won't help you at all. Sorry, I love whoever said it, but it's not going to help you. Yeah, well, let me make it, yeah, abuse, yes, ma'am. By the way, I'm not trying to be pious or not. Folks, when you see every time you're with a person, that thing spins down, step out of that relationship. There are people that I know. Tim knows because I complained to him. Why is that person a friend of every enemy of Lake County? If there are people that hate me, that's who their friends are. And do they not notice that? Do you think that's going to help them in their Christian life? Yeah, abuse, of course. But sometimes we don't get abuse. Rhonda.
When it becomes too exclusive.
Well, that's a huge problem, too. We're going to get into this. Let's read some verses. By the way, remember I told you this is the beginning of a conversation, because you're going to have friendships your whole life. And unless you learn proper friendships and good friendships, you're going to either be the same or worse. You've got to learn who can help you. In your notes, we've already read the one. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. How about this one? He that walketh, and walketh has the idea of spending serious time with. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with an angry man. And I'm talking to this person, I'm saying, texting. I don't want to ask too personal questions. I think what the person was saying is, some friends at church, like happened here in 1998, with a woman and her husband, they were inviting families in this church to their naval home to see if they could talk them into drinking with them. I can mention the name. Their name is Carol and Steve. You want me to give you the last name? They haven't been together in years. He was in wickedness of the first order, but I didn't know it. But I didn't know about the drinking. You know how I knew there was a problem? Everyone look up here. I knew there was a problem because everybody connected to that couple were spinning down. Rachel and Tony Cardenas, anybody connected to them spun up. Sharon Vasilovich, any woman I ever sent to her got better. Everybody connected to that couple spent down. Drinking. You say, are you against drinking? Whew. In your notes, make no friendship with an angry man or any other kind of sin. And with a furious man thou shalt not go. Why? Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. By the way, it is the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit's going to use the Bible to say, you know, this person has a big sin problem, and this person, if you keep hanging around this person, except in small doses, you're going to be like this person. All right. Proverbs 2:20. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. Listen, if I go out with Noel Hippolito, the only bad that will ever happen is I'll have to hear Filipino jokes. And I will never understand any of them. I will be gone. Do you understand there are good people? If Jenny and I go out with Pam and Mike, I'm never wondering, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? I don't know why we, Proverbs 12:26, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. Here is something that will give you some stimulus for thought. By the way, friend, if you have friends in this room, why don't you all get together and talk about these ideas? Duncan would be a good guy. He's good at this kind of thing. This is just Ralph Warrenism, but it's a good idea. So here it is. If, oh my goodness, who put 100 opal? I don't know what that means. I did that for Rhonda. Friend, look, at what I'm doing is saying this. If there is 100 people in this room, or 1,000, I don't care about the number, out of this 100%, you're going to find something real quickly. I'm going to give you absolute truth. You're good, and it makes no difference where you're at. Guys, if you're in the military, which a lot of guys are now retired, you know this in the military. There's 3 to 5% on the wrong side you should never talk to. I'll come back to the numbers in a minute. And there's 3 to 5% on the other side. They should be the people that you want to have relationships because they can take you someplace. And you know what I find? Some people are attracted on the left. I call it the 3 to 5% you should avoid at all cost. And they're always around. Do you know this? They're the kind of person that they never do right, never want to do right, never figured out what right is, always on, you know, they're always spinning down further and further, and for some reason, we're attracted to that. But on the other hand, and this is the beautiful side, there's 3 to 5% of people in most groups, out of 100, out of 100%, there's a group on the other end, this is just Ralph Warren's way of saying it, you should, how do I say it, you should connect with at all cost. By the way, that 3 to 5% will be mentors, role models. Look at me. Hey. They're not a person that talks to you about nothing for 3 hours. They're a person that can take you. They'll discuss what they've been reading. They'll be discussing what they've been learning. They'll discuss the Bible. They will discuss what God's been teaching them. They will discuss ideas. They will discuss things that help you. Seek those people out. And I'm going to say this. It's not always easy to be their friend. David Saxon, 100% one of these guys for me. But he and I are close, but not, we don't talk often. You know, 4, 5, 6, 7 times a year, short. Now, one of them it is Kevin Bowder. He and I can talk. Too much. We were going on vacation this week together. He will do anything to stay away from me, Dada. He and his wife got COVID just to stay away from me and Jenny. By the way, we like him because Kevin and I are somewhat, as my daughter says, nerdy. And Debbie and Jenny are very musical and kind. So the women go do their kind stuff, and we get off in a room and do nerdy stuff. By the way, that's the 3 to 5% that you want to be around. Now you got to figure out, what do I do with the other 90%? And I'm going to tell you what. By the way, everybody with, is everyone with me? There's just people. I do not know why certain people hang out with certain other people. If my life depends, I can't figure it out. And I would say there's a handful of people, no one here tonight particularly, that they're just drawn to that group. They're drawn to evil. I mean, it's just, I don't get it. Avoid them, connect with them, and then there's the big middle. Friends, then you have to decide in this 90%, this group down towards the bottom, maybe you can start being a mentor to them. Maybe you can start influencing them up to the middle. From the middle or so, meaning the people are basically going where you're going, from the middle to the right, you can have normal, good, healthy relationships with limits. So, you know, you kind of got to think about, because look at me. Is that time? I still have a minute, whoever did that. I'm offended. Before I lose my sanity here, let me just say this to everybody. Please look up here. It's not important that you get everything. This is what's important. Please look at me. There's a small group of people. Stay away from them for your sanity in life. There's another group. You should seek them out. They actually have something that can help you go places. Then there's the big group in the middle. You ought to see the group on the left, if I can say this, as a mission. I'm there to be a blessing and encouragement, but I don't spend all my time with them. And then from the middle, in the healthy side, those are my friends. Those are the people I love, care for, deal with. To me, it just makes sense. Number three, relationships must be decided upon I couldn't figure out exactly how to say it. They ought to be decided for or on and disciplined by Scripture. The psalmist said, I am a companion of all them that fear thee. That is people that believe in the living God and are saved. But it goes on to say, and of them that what? All right, since the platform is going to disappear, everyone look at me. I have a question in your notes. Here is the most dangerous person you will face. Unless you are just really in love with sin. Please look up here. The far left group, you're not going to have a problem with because you don't want to be around that. But the most dangerous group are those who say they're saved and do not obey God. Run, 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 and run. Because those are the people that are most, they will fool you. Because it's like, I'm a Christian, and you're like, really? Yeah, I believe the, but really? Where do you go to church? Well, I don't go to church. Where do you serve? I don't serve. How do you support missions? Who do you witness to? Where do you bring people you witness to? What? The most dangerous people you will ever meet are those who talk but don't walk. I am a companion of all them that fear God and keep thy commandments. They're a pretty safe bet. Father, thank you for tonight. Bless our time in Jesus' name.